Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to episode 395 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
How you doing, fellas?
I'm great, thanks.
Well, fucking Groundhog Day as a Penrith fan. How good's rugby league?
This shit's wearing real thin, mate.
That's right. As each week passes, it gets closer and closer.
I've just discovered.
Does it, though?
That Abby and Brittany Hensel, the famed Siamese twins,
I didn't know who they were. Oh, really?
And that's not the most exciting thing that's happened to me this weekend. So,
like, okay, it's one thing for them to have a TikTok, but what I want to know is, do they have an OnlyFans?
Well, it's only, fuck,
it's only
did.
A matter of time.
Because, you know, when the dough gets low, those custom two neck blouses got to go.
Fucking dead. You guys are in a singing, like, lyrical mood this evening. It's lovely.
Oh, I've had a fucking
not the first song you've come up with today.
I've had a fucking, just a powerhouse of, like, fatherhood win week, you know what I mean? Like a weekend of just powerhouse fucking fatherhood wins.
Mm.
So I'm just fucking, I'm feeling fucking great. And so now, after having a wholesome weekend of powerhouse fatherhood wins, I'm coming on here to fucking talk shit about naked Siamese twin bitches. Because that's how you, because life's about balance. and you need to fill both of your cups, the wholesome fatherhood cup and the part that wants to see a Siamese twins in an OnlyFans situation. And if you want me to explain the scenarios that I wish I could see, Glenn, I'll gladly detail them one by one.
I'll give it a miss, but thanks for the offer.
Okay, so let's get into the game, shall we? Thursday night, the first game was the Rabbitohs 34 defeating the Raiders 20 at GIO. The Rabbitohs 34 came through to Alex Johnson, Campbell Graham, Dane Gagai, and Jaden Sewer with tries. Adam Reynolds, 5 conversions and 2 penalty goals. The Raiders 20 came through a double to Jordan Rapana, Elliot Whitehead, Sebastian Chris also with tries, and Rapana 2 of 4 conversions. Who wants to start this one off?
An expensive win for the Rabbits.
Very.
Especially with the unlikely scenario of Adam Reynolds being injured.
And
they've never seen that before, so how are they going to know how to respond? And
especially with the very commonplace rugby league injury, you know, from being involved in the game. And I'm not talking about, you know, things that you'd think are commonplace, like shoulders, knees,
ACLs,
ankles, ligaments in the leg. It was the part of the half's body that I'm sure everyone would agree gets the most use. His thumb. So
it's an injury more commonly seen in authors
and autistic children that do nothing but give thumbs up to passing strangers in a slightly obnoxious way all day.
Or hammer the fuck out of fidget spinners.
Yes, again, the most injury-prone half in the history of rugby league is prone to an injury.
Yeah, even bizarre ones.
More breaking news on Wednesday. No, but, yeah, jokes aside, like, let's now... Who wants to talk about the game?
Can
itself?
I just
the Raiders, I thought,
I fucking yes. love you cunts. Like, that shit is easily in my top five. Like, that sort of interaction there, easily in my top five most favourite fucking things to listen to, except when it's directed at me, which is often. Oh, fuck. Oh, fucking.
Look, with this game, though, I thought, like, you know, when going into halftime, I thought that, that perhaps the Texans were working. And that Canberra were ready to shock the world a little bit.
I don't know if Canberra had a one, I don't know that they would have been shocking the world. But the fact that they lost again and Ricky went straight back to putting more focus on the refereeing than he has on his own team's performance, and the fact that, you know, these type of losses are starting to rack up for them, you know, that Canberra's over the last couple of seasons started to get a reputation as a really, a side that competes for the full 80 and you know, challenges those top sides that, you know, it was only two seasons ago they're in the grand final. Feel like Ricky, he's doing the team a disservice by, you know, certainly in the press conference, and I don't know exactly what's going on behind closed doors there, but the performances like this are starting to become more commonplace for them, and he really needs to start putting a rocket up them as a side and get them back to where they were, you know, last season, the season before, rather than bitching about refereeing. It sends a wrong message to the playing group, and it's not having an impact on how they're playing, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I would love to be a fly on the wall just in the general training and change room chat from Ricky, because it's one thing for a coach to sort of come out and say, you know, like, you know, ref's fault, like he does, and take pressure off the players, but then on the training paddock, and video sessions, he's like, you know, doesn't mention the refereeing at all because it's not really a factor. It's just a misdirection for the public. But then if you're going to play a character in press conferences as well, could you pick one that's just a lesser annoying cunt than Ricky? Yeah.
I don't know that he's playing a character. I think he's just being himself.
Yeah, that's what I fear. And I mean, the performances and the fade outs kind of, you know, they lend themselves to that more than the other. But I don't know.
Yeah, you look over the stats for this one, and everything points to Canberra being relatively well drilled. South blew them away in terms of running meters, but. But everything else, line breaks are equal, tackle breaks are, you know, in South's favour, but with their backs, you expect that. South had a terribly slow average play the ball speed. But then you get down, the Raiders had zero ruck infringements, zero set restarts for inside the 10, however conceded 8 penalties to 1.
Yeah, and I do notice that the NRL did finally make restitution for the 2019 grand final by giving them seven. I think was it 7-6 again calls?
Yeah.
So that was three. So that was the 6 that it owed them plus interest.
4 plus another penalty.
Yeah.
But the thing about Ricky that gets me is, and again, he may be doing it to protect the players, which is all good and well.
Yep.
But it's this thing of, if anyone knows anything about the game of rugby league, then they know that talking about the two obstruction penalties that led to tries being disallowed. Yep. Anyone that knows anything about the game of rugby league knows that there were no chance of tackling that player. Well, it doesn't matter because that's not how the rules are written. The rules are written that if a forward stops in the line and interferes with the defence, that's an obstruction.
Yeah.
You know, so, and again.
And that's a black and white thing. And like, gone are the days where you could argue, did the guy, was he impeded? Did he have a legitimate chance to make the tackle, et cetera, et cetera. And this is, they've entered a few black and white conditions in there that rule any of that other sort of speculative, objective stuff, or subjective stuff, I should say, immediately out of the equation. Yeah.
For South's bit, though, again, I am fucking so here for crafty veteran Benji Marshall's last season.
Mm-hmm.
Just everything about it. And even if we've spoken before about how if Benji Marshall is a net zero exercise for your team, that's kind of okay.
Yeah.
And he's had that, there was that period the other night where he set up one try and then minutes later he...
Then put one into the first row. So, yeah.
But interestingly enough, though, there seem to be bigger troubles now for Ricky with players' girlfriends questioning his rotations. So...
And I tell you, my feeling on that is it's great to see Wags talking about footy and not about fucking crystals and fucking vaccines and whatnot and powdered rice supplements that are selling for $100 a bag or whatever.
Wouldn't it be fucking great, though? Wouldn't it be fucking great? And as much as we rag on Ricky Stewart, how fucking good would it be if he rings her and says, come down Monday morning? She gets there and he goes, righto, boys. Apparently it was the interchanges that I picked that fucked us, and not all of your shit cunt penalties and knock-ons and fucking stupid defensive reads. So now Joe's missus is just going to have the team for the week. So I'm out. I'm going to go and sink cruisers on my fucking roof.
Yeah. I'll sink cruisers on the roof of the fucking change rooms over here, watching the whole proceedings as they play out.
That's it. So, all the best. I'll be back next week, and you can tell me what you like. And if you like it, she can do all the interchanges for the rest of the season.
Or either that, or even if he doesn't have to go that wholehearted, you can just go, look, she's going to be managing the interchanges for the games going forward.
Yep.
And she'll be handing out the cards. She'll be down the sideline handing out the cards. not on my say so, on when she thinks guys need a break and
so
when a guy's raring to get on.
So Joe, I hope you're ready for 80 minutes.
Because you know that's what the ultimate fucking end game of that is.
That's it. Barking hell. Let's go straight on to some comments on that one. Ryan in the Facebook group said someone might want to check the sugar content in the milk. Hashtag fuck the milk. Hashtag fuck the Broncos. Terry said the pigtail plat CHN gone from fucking schoolgirls to impersonating them.
We really need to make a fucking a repository of these great, like the ones that really stand out as like the great ones, so we can revisit them. Are you keeping your documents for these things? Or have you got like where you save the ones that you say? Or
oh no.
God damn it.
Nat, who is a Canberra fan, I might add, said, I could run shapes with success against that Raiders right edge defence, and I have had the following today. 11 beers, an eye test, with the strongest prescription as an outcome, gout.
Fucking gout.
The biggest tiger said, you know when you innocently love and respect everything your dad says when you're young? Then they say something stupid and you realise maybe they're not perfect. Future immortal Benji Marshall is in no way like Darius Boyd. Directed at you.
Comments, Glenn?
Let's see how Benji goes now that there's going to be a lot more expected of him to be a little bit more than a novelty for South whilst Reynolds is out, especially with Origin probably coming off the back of that. So we'll go from Reynolds being out to potentially Walker in and out of the side. So, but Kiwi Darius, he has followed Uncle Wayne around a few parts these days.
Oh, Jesus Christ. And
Benji puts on a fucking masterclass, delivers you the only fucking grand final success that seems like, you know, seemingly that you're likely to experience as a rugby league fan in your fucking life. And you're still going...
That's a fucking long time ago, Nathan.
And you know what? When they make a movie of his life, you can even fucking star in it. If they...
As the ball he flicked past?
Well, no. If they do a fucking close-up of Adam Reynolds' hand, it could be Glenn.
Just I'll make the credits. Adam Reynolds' thumb.
Oh, no, another injury. You got any more?
at one golfer in a cart said, maybe playing Hello Darkness, My Old Friend at halftime isn't quite having the positive impact on the Raiders. Ricky Stewart seems to think it does. That's it for that one.
Right, okay, the Melbourne Storm 40 defeated the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks 14 in the pub slot game down at the Korean Housewife on Friday night. The Storm's 40 came through tries to Josh Adokar, Tom Eisenhuth, Tui Kamakamika, a hat-trick to Remus Smith, Jerome Hughes, Brandon Smith also with tries, Munster 3 conversions from 7 attempts and a penalty goal. Sharks 14 tries to Britton Cora and Connor Tracy, Chad 2 conversions and a penalty goal. They could have kicked their goals. They could have put Souths away. Could have put Cronulla away for the season. But
fuck, there was some comical attempts from Munster. There was some fucking shanks in there.
Yeah, they need to sort themselves out a little bit.
I was going to say real talk, and yeah, you're not going to get to play the Sharks every week, or probably even in the finals this year. But that could theoretically cost them, you know, a grand finals berth or a grand final if you look at some of those close games. And I know they get Pappenhausen back.
Yeah, they'll have Pappy back and he's very reliable. Yeah. So, I mean, you would think that it's not going to hurt him when it counts, but yeah, I mean, like if he's, you know, somehow knocked out or, you know, well, like Origin last year, if they knocked him out of the game, yeah, like they knocked Teddy out,
yeah,
of, you
that's
know.
It.
So, and look, you know, that's probably a valid strategy in a grand final for a retiring player.
But how good is, you know, it that you can have probably close to your worst 40 minutes of football in recent memory and still come away with a 40-point-to-14 performance over a team that you know is going to be up for the occasion and were well in it for that.
Half-time, though, well and truly.
That's it.
Yeah.
More and more, Jerome Hughes has come on and matured that fucking immensely as a half, and especially in that mould of that Cooper Cronk half where, well, I know exactly what I need to do in each game scenario. I know that if we're starting to tie their forwards out in the middle, then I can rely on the guys for a couple of sets of defence after early kicks. We can really grind and build some pressure.
Yeah.
Or we're getting overwhelmed here. I've got to tuck the ball under and run and really get some ground and do the follow me thing. So probably one of the best, I'd say if you take a three-season sample size, one of the most improved in one of the most difficult positions on the field that I think I've ever seen.
Totally agree. I think the neck,
and also a position that has like a lot of legacy attached to it, yeah, and stuff as well, where it's ripe for like negative comparison.
Yes.
Sorry, Glenn,
what do you think of where Nico Hines, do you think he slips into the wing once Adokar's gone next year? Or because, you know, you say fullback's probably his preferred spot, but that's probably not going to happen for him. He would be on the radar of a few clubs chasing someone of that, you know, but typically guys are prone to stay at Melbourne for a bit less cash to stay for the prolonged success. But he's an interesting one, especially with Bellamy looking like he's going to move on. You know, if he gets a big offer from another club, I don't know that Melbourne are going to be able to play those same cards to keep guys like that could well and truly go and earn more money at other clubs to stay Melbourne.
He's not a born and raised Melbourne, you know, Melbourne guy anyway. Mm. So if he sees there's no road forward, then you know, he'll do what he has to do. But I did see I didn't read the article, but I did see it in the feed today that from what I understand that the Storm seem to be inching closer or perhaps even confident of getting Xavier Coates.
Oh, Jesus.
To replace Adokar, which, yeah, I mean, you know, good for the Storm. I mean, they'll turn a tall fucking guy like that into a jumping fucking giraffe and be absolutely unassailable under the high ball.
Yeah, that's it.
And they'll just be scoring bulk fucking tries because Munster will just be fucking chipping it to him, you know, every set. But just hilarious for, you know, hashtag fuck the Broncos. But But yeah. But no, Nico Hines, I'm sure. I mean, he's got real utility value, though, I reckon.
Yeah. I agree.
As well, not just fullback value.
At Diminutive Rowdy on Twitter said simply, Harry Grant brilliance. Hasn't he come on this year as well?
Can play.
Remember the first game or the first two games when he, you know, the first games he was actually playing for the Storm.
And he
wasn't great.
No, that's it.
And then it was that game against probably the Roosters where he stamped himself as like fucking king.
Yeah.
Like, you know, some of those passes he put on the guys close to the line to score tries. And now he's just, yeah, he's back where he was at the end of last season and looks every bit the part.
That's it. At Marso221 on Twitter said, Connor Tracy looks like he's wearing a mask made of other humans' flesh. Lambretta GP 1971 on Twitter said, for 40 minutes, this was like a wonderful first date. Back and forth banter between two equals enjoying a wonderful night out. Then it all went wrong as one of the dater's mates burst in and gang raped their victim, leaving them more damaged than Seabold's reputation. Hashtag fuck the Broncos.
See, that's another one of those ones you put in that archive. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Nice.
Is that the last one?
That's the last one.
Right, second game on Friday night. The Brisbane Broncos, 36, defeated the Gold Coast Titans, 28. The family dynamic has been rearranged again. The Broncos, 36, came through tries to Herbie Farnworth, a double to Jermaine Osako. Xavier Coates, Corey Oates, Jesse Arthurs with tries. Osako, 5 conversions and a penalty goal. The Broncos, 28, tries to Kevin Proctor, Corey Thompson, Alexander Branson, Tyrone Peachy, and Mitch Rain. Jamal Fogarty, 4 of 5 conversions. This was not the game of two halves. This was the game of
15-minute increments. 20 minutes.
It was the game of two halves of a half and a whole half. And unfortunately, that 75% went the way of the Broncos.
This game was like an interpretive dance of the Titans fan base, making a lot of fucking noise when they're running downhill, only to end up all fucking quiet and back in their holes when it mattered. I feel like the Titans had started to look like a top eight side for several of their matches this season, but this particular game has set them back a fucking long way. They looked like they were playing touch football for the first 15 to 20 minutes. And as soon as the Broncos started to push back, they fucking fell apart. And their defense in the middle was non-existent. And, you know, they...
As was the defense out wide. I mean, just like the broken tackles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't tries from, like, this, you know, amazing fucking slick work. It was, like, you know, horrible mistakes, just, you know, down their own end. Horrible missed tackles, one-on-one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If you look...
It was hard to watch as someone who's on the hashtag fuck the Broncos bandwagon.
A couple of weeks ago, there was that Souths game where I remember I said after it that they're...
That was last week, wasn't it?
No.
Yeah.
I was just...
The game South versus the Titans?
No.
Okay.
Not South versus the Titans, but there was a South Sydney game where I'd said that their first contact was the best I'd seen in a very, very, very long time. They just got in and absolutely nailed... I wish I could remember if they were playing now with their defense. But this was exactly the opposite, where it didn't look like the Titans players were engaged at any stage. And you can forgive them that, I guess, as part of this journey for them coming from a bottom eight side into trying to become a consistent top eight side. They didn't go through all of these things like they absolutely flogged them last time. They've had some better results. They've got more talent on the field these days. So it did look as if they went into this one expecting to just go through the motions and come away with the win. The other thing that it showed was that, you know, while it's obviously not great for Brisbane if they keep having people bleed out and people like Xavier Coates end up at Melbourne, but fuck me, they need to do everything in their power to keep Pangai happy. Mm-hmm. Because any game that they have had an absolute sniff of success in, he's been the driving force for that.
Mm.
Yep.
Like, legitimately putting the entire team on his back and fucking carrying them. and he shut down Fifita that night.
Mm. Yep. He seemed to take it as a real, you know, like his challenge to shut him down. And I think, you know, when they
played
earlier.
That's what you need, though. That's exactly what you need. You need a guy to take it personal. Obviously, it's easier for a guy at the Broncos side to take it personal because, you know, they played alongside him last year and, you know, whatever. But you just need a forward who can defend, who is either instructed by the coach or decides, you know, that it is their job to shut him down no matter what. I mean, Sean Kepi did it, you know, the other week when we played the Titans. And, you know, you just need that guy. And then, like, when they flogged Newcastle, two or three weeks ago, Tyson Frizzell was the opposite. Mm. He was consistently trampled by Fifita, and so Fifita looked like a fucking god, you know? So
yeah, that's it.
What do you make of that Tyson gamble to the Broncos?
I think that he brought to the Broncos exactly what they've needed. You know,
it's like the opposite of meekness.
Well, look,
you know what I mean? Like an angry ant.
It's a small sample size.
Yeah.
Small sample size that we've seen him in. But all too often you see it, that a couple of young guys come in, and, you know, again, you saw it this afternoon in the Tigers game. You get these young guys come in, and it's just through energy and exuberance and effort alone that they make an impact. Because by virtue of them being up and ready for the opposition, it drags these older guys back, you know, into a different frame of mind. So I think just by virtue of his age and his exuberance and how he is on the field, he was fantastic, and certainly more effective and with some better fifth tackle options than you've seen poor old Brody Croft have.
Mm.
Yep.
And if you take into account Deedon's going to the Cowboys, why would you give him any more game time to really, you know, prepare him?
Yep.
I'd say we'll be seeing a fair bit more of him this season.
I think if he had a shocker, then the pressure's probably on Walters to look at Deedon again. But to play like that first up, he's probably bought himself a month of first grade, I feel, at least.
Yeah, for sure.
Just, do you guys realise how many times you've said small sample size since we've been recording this year, this season? Well, it's a fucking lot.
Well, I mean, I guess we'll stop. I guess we'll stop saying that like around about halfway through the season when we've got a larger sample size.
It's really, Glenn. Well, I don't know what impact that's going to have, but the amount of times you said small sample size started working its way into my bedroom. Generally.
Oh, come on. How long you been married again? It's been there long before you even fucking
22 years of the 22 years of me not knowing how to respond to a disappointed look when I pull off the cover, so to speak. Now I'm just like,
we're just trying to say, like, how
it's a
small exactly
sample size.
How exactly are you smiting yourself here? Because there's a couple of options. You're either smiting yourself saying that you have a below average penis, or you're saying that you'd never have sex. So it's to talk about how good it is. So choose your poison, because you're absolutely fucking double fisting yourself here.
I was going with the small penis line. Yeah.
I thought you were getting your fucking sperm count done. You had to have multiple goes to come up with a sample size large enough for them to analyze. Fucking dust nutted Jesuit.
Fucking now, dead. How did we get here?
You coming at us on this small sample size shit? That's how it happened.
Dust nutted Jesuit.
Stop coming at us and save some for the fucking sterile container in your bedroom.
Jesuit.
I love it.
Get some tweets. Can't wait to hear from all these Broncos fans that knew they were going to win.
Michael in our Facebook group said, this game is an indictment on Queensland Rugby League, centre state to Perth. A different Michael said, fuck's sake, Titans, you fucking useless, low-hanging, saggy ball suckers. Completely about to fuck my degenerate multi. And if that happens, well, fuck, I might just have to fun-size Mars by my wee hole and post the video. There you go. Toto said simply in all caps, Kevolution.
Yeah, he's really
a lot of things.
He's pushing that wagon.
He's a true believer.
Toto is one of the few that I feel sorry for when they lose.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Very few.
Matthew said, "Holy shit, AJ Bromson giving DCE a run for his money in the interview stakes.
I didn't watch the interview.
Fucking
so I don't,
cast
I don't,
your mind I'm, back. I said something similar months ago in a DM group we're in.
Yeah.
Brimson is fucking Rain Man when you put a microphone in front of him. It is terrible. Like, Mal Meninga needs to fucking stop concentrating on culture and start.
What is it about the Titans? I remember, like, you know, remember Zillman had that, you know, he was writing the stuff about the horses and... Like, what is it about the Titans in their fullback position? Yeah, and weaponized autism. That's a,
and Chewy.
I don't know.
Chewy said, "I won't be able to sleep tonight. My erection is pulsing like a triple dropped blue pill. I know it will just come crashing down again next week, but it's the hope that really kills you. I'm going to take some lube to the spare room and enjoy it while it lasts." Good on you, Chewy.
Do it. Enjoy yourself.
That's it.
The Panthers 28 defeat the Mighty Manly Seagulls 16 at Carrington Park in Bathurst, I understand. Panthers... Panthers tries to Dylan Edwards, Brian To'o, Liam Martin, Steve Crichton, and Tyrone May. 4 or 5 conversions to Cleary. Manly 16 tries to Tommy Turbo, DCE, Jason Saab, Daly with a conversion, and Garrick with a penalty goal.
You go first, Nate.
Well, I'd just like to say first, congratulations to the 2021 Harold Matthews champions, Manly Seagulls, 24-12 winners over Parramatta in the final. But that aside, I actually, you know what, apart from the actual win, like I'm not too displeased with the performance. It's considering we have an actual reference point with which to compare this game to that was only a month ago. It's like, it's amazing, like the fact that defensively we basically cut half of what we conceded, and offensively we almost tripled what we, you know, what we put on the board. It's obviously you know, a massive tick on the you know, improvement and the steps in the right direction the side's making. The forward, like it's weird. Like, I mean, I looked at the stats. I'm like, oh wow, the stats did not look at the way that the game looked to me at all. But the forwards, and I think that's just basically because the Manly forwards improved so massively in the second half that they kind of, you know, evened things up a little bit and made things look a little bit better on the stat sheet by the end of it. But I mean, the first half of the Panthers was like just rolling them so easily. But again, like the amount of good ball opportunities the Panthers had to score and couldn't score was just it was just heartening to see the commitment and fucking application and quality of the fucking goal line defense. And so much so, like, the Panthers, like, most of the tries they scored had to be like fucking like all time fucking tries, like that Dylan Edwards one where To'o makes the break and then, you know, gets a pass away, then, you know, they had to kick it down and Dylan Edwards ultimately you know, touches it down for the try. I mean, they had to be like these fucking tries where you go fucking, you know, the brilliant fucking tries that they had to score. So as opposed to like the last time where it was basically kick out or anybody getting tackled 2-on-1 to a meter out from the goal line and then putting an arm out or managing to like crash over and somehow like, you know, break or spin and, you know, whatever and score the try. So so massive improved effort. It's the toughest game the Panthers have had fucking since the grand final. And it's the highest score that's been posted against the Panthers since the grand final. So, I mean, I think, you know, I'm, you know, if you're a stats man like I am, I mean, you would understand that makes Manly the linear second best team in the competition in 2021. And I'm fucking there for it. I'll tell you, Jason Saab, though, I just said this on the Facebook group, but I want to open it up to you fellas as well. He's got to be one of the fastest fucking players in the competition now. Like, it's fucking, it's like you see guys make breaks and they run and they beat guys to the try line, blah, blah, blah. But the way that he like took a pass and then proceeded to fucking burn two guys off and then burn Edwards off, you know, just with speed. He beat him purely with speed to the point where Edwards could barely make contact with him as he was going past.
Edwards is no fucking slouch either.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like Edwards is not a guy you go, oh yeah, he gets fucking burned all, you know, he's
which
not
fucking
a
Dylan
slow
Edwards
fullback
have you been looking at?
He's not someone that I would say is a slow fullback.
He's not slow.
He doesn't have the turning circle of a fucking fight.
What fullbacks are slower?
I don't fucking know. I didn't want to turn it into a fucking which is the fucking Queen Mary of fullbacks here. But I mean,
all I'm saying is
I have it's like, and it wasn't just him. He burned off Toho and fucking someone else as well before he got to Edwards. So it's
His skill is that he gets to Top Gear really fucking quick, and you haven't seen him against your Foxes, your Staines in an actual foot race.
And these are stupid carnival fucking things that we're talking about here. But yeah, well, I mean, bring back the match race on Grand Final Day.
Wait a couple of years, and at least you'll probably know if he can beat fucking Billy down at Manly Wharves the week before the season starts.
I'm glad we agree. Jason Saab, fastest man in the competition at the moment. Maybe that's it. Maybe you're right. Maybe he just does have the greatest acceleration in the competition. You know, so he's more of a Tesla than a fucking Saab. But
yes, you're right. He is horribly overvalued.
He's not a company. That's his family. He is just the fastest from 0 to 100 in the competition at the moment.
But on the subject of the actual game, I was impressed how Penrith stood up in this one. If you actually look at what was put in front of them, and as you've said, you can only play what's put in front of you. Manly really didn't do too much damage. Really, all they did was a fucking intercept try. Some bullshit luck thing where the balls hit the post.
Targeted thing. Mistake from Cleary.
No, the bullshit DCE thing where he's fucked a kick and luckily it's hit the post.
Aim for the post. Bounced back. Made Cleary make a mistake, scored the try on the back of it. Yep.
But so...
And we all saw it. It's on video. So we all saw it.
So there's an intercept try, a fucking arsey hit the pads, and then, as you've said, probably the fastest person to ever play the game of rugby league, you know, running fast.
And burning six Penrith players on the way through.
Yeah, that's it. So the fastest guy in rugby league is fast. There's nothing more to be said. Fast guy is fast.
Also, the first time Penrith has played full strength in how long.
And again, that's a great segue into my next one.
It's still the best performance the team's ever made against
with
them.
With two of your key positions so far from fucking fully match fit, that it's not funny. It was nice that we got to give them a training run against such pissy opposition. It was nice, though, to take it out to the people of Bathurst. It's good to see that Penrith, do those things for the bush and grassroots footy.
Lord knows there's fuck all else to live for in Bathurst.
That's it. The thing that was most impressive, there was a period there where Manly had, it was 4 or 5 repeat sets of 6 within Penrith's 20 and just did not come close to faltering. Didn't even look like faltering. So when you take out the intercept
one of the times Brad Parker was cut down about fucking 3 centimetres from the line by an excellent tackle from Stephen Crichton. I mean, like, these are things that other other times would have been tries. Other teams certainly tries. I mean, like, if it was against the Tigers, obviously, he would have scrolled through.
Hey, you're fucking dragging me into this shit.
they would have been tries.
I'm just referring to last week's game. It's topical, bro.
So I'm very happy that they weren't tries against my team. That, if you're not getting it, that's the gist of what I'm saying. I'm happy with what they did.
Because that's good.
When it came down to Manly actually having to construct points, they weren't able to do it. Just given such a glut of possession, even in there, we're in that 4-set period. There were 87 forward passes missed, 8 knock-ons.
How's Penrith throwing forward passes when they didn't have the ball?
Just had their eyes closed. Look, I don't know if you're trying to impersonate DC.
Are you refs faulting a game you won? I mean, because we've just spoken about what an unpalatable cunt Ricky Stewart's character is, but this is taking it to a whole new fucking level.
No, I'm not refs faulting at all. I'm saying I'm proud of the boys that they didn't let it get to them. We didn't even have to fucking refs fault.
You didn't say about them getting. You mentioned that it was fucking 87. Exactly. You didn't say anything about the boys letting it get to them. You just started complaining about fucking 87 missed knock ons and some arbitrary fucking bullshit. Glenn, what do you think about the game?
But if we're done autisming here, but
are you? Are you though?
Are you ever done with that?
Look, I think the only way I'm going to get another fucking word in is if the Ricky Stewart Foundation calls you and tells you you've been accepted.
I don't know what his foundation does. What is? You're really overestimating my interest in Ricky Stewart and his foundation.
Google it. But the fact that they played the whistle the entire time, in all of these sets, the forward passes went, and they just kept to their task. They kept on what they were doing. The knock-ons weren't called. They kept on what they were doing. They just stayed resolute through the whole period and eventually forced the error. So, again, it's nice. Every team's going to come at us like it's their grand final, and that was definitely Manly's. So I'm glad that there were some lucky moments.
I'm glad we treated it like the early round hit out that it should be, because obviously we taper for grand finals. We're not trying to fucking get there and lose at the end. I mean, it ain't no thing without the ring, and so that's what we're building for. I mean, at the end of the day, all these other little trinkets along the way are nice, and they're great for solace for the fans. Not yourself, Jay. I would never accuse you like that, but. But it's great for souls for other fans, lesser fans of lesser intellect that don't chase premierships. They just chase little things. But we play for the big ones, and it's good to know that that we could play so terribly. Great application, but play makes so many mistakes, and still fucking take Penrith to their most difficult game that they've had in the last 2 years. I was going to bring something else up, but I just forgot it.
The errors were 11-12, so there was one more error.
Sorry?
The errors were 11 to 12. So they were about equal.
Yeah, I mean, but that's normal for you. But for us,
we demand
a more 3-4 error thing. We're after 3-4 errors. We want to improve on that front. You can run by your metrics, but that's fine. But we'll run by ours. And do you want to say anything about this, Glenn? I'm saying that we would aspire to be committing less errors. If you're happy with 11, then go for it.
Didn't
or 12
you say
or whatever
that
it is?
Even though you made so many errors.
Yeah, 12 is a lot of errors. Is 12 not a lot of errors?
Fuck, see,
is 12 not a lot of errors? You fucking tell me.
Now I wish you were like DCE and just stayed on one point for fucking 9 hours. At least I'd know what you were talking about.
I said we made so many errors. I didn't say anything compared to Penrith's errors.
Yeah,
I said we made so many errors.
In the context of the game.
No. You're trying to read context into what I'm saying. You're trying to make up fucking shit.
I didn't realise you asked me back because you cunts were getting a divorce. Jesus fuck.
Don't put words into my mouth. I said we made so many errors. Fact.
Yes.
You would aspire to make less errors.
And then I said, in the context of the game, the errors were 11-12, so they really didn't have that much of an outcome.
Well, no, you're making a counterpoint that actually has nothing to do with what I was saying. I'm not talking about any comparison. I'll let you get back to being happy with your loss.
Sorry, just be happy. But do it. Just finish being happy with your loss. It's okay.
All right.
This has been a challenging 10-minute angry wank.
Now, would you like to say something about the game from a somewhat neutral standpoint, Glenn?
Look, I think Penrith had an air of confidence that they could put the game to bed, and as Jay said, they were resolute when Manly were coming at them. But I have to give Manly credit for the way they stood up and challenged Penrith. And as much as I hate to agree with both of certain points. With points that both of you have made, I think that Manly is on a decent track to be a very good side by the end of the season. And I think that Penrith is definitely going to be the benchmark by the time Manly get to that. So I can't see this fucking bullshit being the last type of this conversation that I'll have to endure as the season progresses.
No, I don't either.
Well, no, they don't play each other again, so you're fine.
What, you won't play each other in the finals or a grand final potentially, is my point.
Yeah. Oh, look, fucking, that's a big call you're making.
I'm glad to have an impartial person like Glenn here to you know, cut through the various biases that obviously both of us are going to push at all times, and just sit there as a neutral lover of rugby league and respect that and come to you know a great conclusion from an area of impartiality. Yes. You're a great guy, Glenn.
On the socials,
and a wonderful judge of rugby league.
Thank you.
On the socials, Mad Dog said, Manly were dudded. Panthers are the new Storm with how well looked after they are by the refs. Well, there you go. You know you fucking made it.
I would never ref's fault.
At Opium Death Cult on Twitter said, good to see every team playing their best game against us. Only makes the Panthers work harder towards the arrogant inevitable. Shunter said, nice of the Panthers and the Seagulls to take a trial to regional areas.
I love him so much.
Michael said, DCE getting run over. Name a better sight in the game.
Dylan Edwards getting run over, I suppose.
Ryan said, not a bad loss as far as I'm concerned. It was close for a while and could have gone our way. If only Manly had played better with less mistakes. Penrith are just too lethal and given a sniff next to the line. I think the result was fair in the end. That's it. Maddie said, that left edge is just pure cocaine and waffles. There you go. Graham.
I don't understand the combination of cocaine and waffles, though. I mean, he obviously really likes cocaine and waffles, I guess. I mean, it's like, you know, these are a few of my favourite things. But
Graham said, Critter and the Chin totally shut down Tommy. Cleary is the most complete player in the game. I always thought he'd be a Kronk clone, but he's already better. And that, sir, is guaranteed for MVC at the Twillies this year, just on that comment alone. Hashtag Geary of Cleary.
Yeah, shutting cunts down when they get 200 metres. Shut down. Sorry, is that the last one?
That's the last one.
The Eels 32 defeat the Doggies 10 at Stadium Australia on Saturday. The Eels 32 came through tries, a double to Gutherson, a double to Sivo. Sean Lane and Nucore also with tries, 4 of 6 conversions for Moses. Doggies 10 came through tries to Avarillo and DWZ. Flanagan, 1 conversion. I wonder if Trent cried after this one.
Sexy, just emotional, good there. Bloke.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's the new wrinkle to his character that he's revealed to us over the last week or two, you know? So if it's going to be a bit, he has to keep going.
Clint Gutherson, I thought, had a strong game. And I know he's got, you know, certainly within the Para fan base, he's got massive raps, costs a fair bit of flack from other fan bases. And I don't think he'd be the same player or have the same level of impact at any other club in the comp. And to be honest, outside of Para, I think he's Tim Moulton with better knees. But he does seem to have whatever the fucking keys to the safe or something at Parramatta, and whatever herbs and spices he brings to that team, they certainly lift around him. And he had some real quality touches in this game. Bryce Cartwright again. He's the role that Brad Arthur's given him suits the 2021 incarnation of Bryce and his mental state absolutely perfectly. And he again didn't get into that mindset that we spoke about in the last couple of weeks that he had earlier in his career, where he was trying to do everything. He's just more focused on playing a role, and if he continues to do that, I think he's going to have a real impact for Para and a lot of their results as the season progresses. For the Bulldogs, not, you know, They look like they were going to mount a comeback, but Parramatta were never really out of control of this game at any stage. And Siu Manufangai, he's doing things certainly at the in just these last couple of games for the Bulldogs that he never did at the Tigers, and he was a bit of a fizzer at the Sharks. And he's been overseas and come back, and I don't know, the hit that he put on, I can't remember, it was Sean Lane. You know, they're the sorts of things, if the Bulldogs are a better side, that sort of stuff can turn a game.
Yeah, so they can.
Mm.
The thing that the Bulldogs are showing, like, not all jokes aside, they are showing traits of Trent Barrett coach sides. I have intimate fucking knowledge with one of those sides.
As in lots of losing.
As in, yeah, lots of losing, but no, like, I'm not joking here. The fact that they are so fucking hard to get, like, they're so hard to get moving. Like, we saw last week with the, the week before last when they had the man down and they just started piling on the points and almost came up with a win. And then this one, once they got one, then they got more and it looked like they were, you know, like you said, looked like they were mounting a comeback. You know,
hang on. It's like, hang on a second.
Yes.
The fuck did you just send me? Just for the listeners, Jay has developed a little habit over the last few episodes where we'll be in the middle of a discussion and my phone will buzz and I'll have a look at it. And this, I don't even know how to describe the content that comes my way.
It's something from E-Fucked, is it?
I don't know where it's from, but it's got a lot of limbs. It's got a lot of limbs.
Right. So let me take you back.
Please continue, Nathan.
And I just want to say, oh wow, that's like the OnlyFans I was looking for. Great. Now,
yeah, but see, I thought so too, but under closer inspection, it's not.
There's multiple legs. Now, what I'm saying is the traits of a Trent Barrett side being just so, like, maybe he's not like that guy, like the motivational speaking coach who can give a pre-match address and pump the guys up and get them firing from the second the game starts. And it takes like some sort of thing like adversity, like conceding a bunch of points and like looking out of it, or, you know, some sort of firing up sort of grub, you know, one of their guys getting hit hard. And then, you know, it takes this inciting incident to get them to actually start fucking get their head into the game and start moving and putting points on. Mm. And it's happened the last 3 weeks for the Dogs. And so, yeah, I mean, like, if nothing else, I guess they are developing into a Trent Barrett side, for better or worse. Mm. Spoiler, for worse. You have anything to say about this game?
Not that you guys haven't covered off. It, you know, Parramatta just seem to be doing the basics very well. And that's winning them games.
Yeah, it feels like they feel exactly the same as last year.
Yeah,
to me, like, whereas they're winning a ton of games, but I don't know if there's going to be that extra gear when it counts against the teams that they're going to have to beat.
Yeah,
you know.
And Glenn, you put it beautifully before that you think that Gutho, if he's at any other club, is a shell, I guess, of the mythos that he's got at Parramatta. But in his defence, what he's done since he's had that opportunity there, he's done the majority of what you want out of a modern day fullback.
Absolutely.
At an above average level, very, very consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that that he's backing up through the middle and he's always on the outside of his centres when they make a break. And he's always there when needed to link up and loop around. So you can't take that away from him.
No, I wasn't trying to slight the guy. I just feel he's found himself in this situation at this club, and he's got this cult following, and
yeah,
he's not. It's not because he's just has this overabundance of talent that no one else has. If you know what I mean, like. It's just situational.
And I'll tell you what, on this game, the amount of actual fucking good comments. Jesus Christ.
Well, give us a token. Just give us a token then, Andrew, just so we've got, just so we've done something.
Oh, no. Well, Andrew said, Gutho has a mullet, a top knot, and a mo. No wonder the dogs can't tackle him. They're too busy fucking laughing at his stupid-looking head. Hashtag king of fuck all. Nathan said, this Panthers' second side is still embracing their Battle of the West. And Terry said, winning against Cronulla and losing against Parra is what I expected this year. It doesn't mean I accept it. So all of the other shit about this game was absolute fucking drivel lift. You fucking sad Parramatta and doggies cunts.
Yeah. And look, I would like to echo Glenn's statements on Gutho for this game as well. I mean, like, we definitely give him a kicking because of his self-appointed nickname and the times when he doesn't meet the standards that we would expect from him, like State of Origin. But yeah, he had a great fucking game this time. So yeah. I don't want to hear any Eels fans say that we are unfairly maligning him or not giving him credit when it's due. Moving on, the Roosters 38 defeated the Knights 4. The Roosters tries two, or hat trick to Josh Morris. Daniel Tupou, Sam Walker, Angus Crichton, Matt Ikavalu with tries. Walker 5-7 conversions. The Knights, a solitary try to Braden Musgrove.
This is a game again. The Knights... Oh, I was letting you have a yawn. I was like, I'm ready to go here. It was a game.
I was just going to say, just more expensive than for South.
Yeah.
This fucking
this
game
was the one of the bloodiest conflicts of the war.
Yeah.
And we're not actually engaged in a war at the moment.
Yeah,
fucking Jesus Christ.
The BMOS one was fucking heartbreaking.
I'm legit gutted.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
He's never played for a team I support outside of State of Origin and Australian duties. And, like, let's face it, 2014 was just fucking magical. I mean, we speak about it every time we talk about BMOS anyway, but that aside, he's played, not only hasn't he played for a team that I personally support, the teams he's played for are all teams that, you know, are fucking the most hateable sides in the competition, perhaps with the exception of the Storm. However, despite all of that, is there a player more universally beloved by Queensland's, New South Wales people, non-Dragons fans, non-fucking East fans, you know, like, unbelievable.
The shots of his brother, you know, giving
that shit was just unnecessary.
Fucking straight in the feels, that one.
I do not need to have my emotions fucking played with in that manner, Channel 9 dressing room cameraman. Like, I mean, there's some. I understand from their perspective, it's great. It's great television. But man, I don't want to see that shit. That's a guy at his absolute fucking lowest point.
Yeah,
yeah.
Minutes after, I mean, because that happened like, you know, 2 minutes before the end of the game, didn't it? And so, like, you know, so 10 minutes later, when he's coming to the terms of what's happened, I mean, he knew straight away. You know, those screams, just fuck, Jesus Christ! Like, it was all bad from the fucking. From the second it happened through to the footage and then the stuff with Josh afterwards, like, just like dead set traumatic for rugby league fans.
Yeah.
Like, fucking traumatic. And, you know, he was coming to the end of his time, but we've been robbed of the last, you know, 6 months potentially of his career.
Yeah.
I mean, can he come back after an ACL at, you know, what, at 35? Plus years of age. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure he probably could, but I mean, I also think that as we wound down to the end of this season, we probably would have got started hearing the things and, you know, this is it.
Yeah, that's it.
This is his last run sort of thing. And the way he reacted, you know, makes me think that that's what his intentions would have, were.
Exactly.
And because it seemed like the grief of like the finality and having retirement, you know, forced upon him far before he was ready for it, you know?
But I'm pretty sure I've asked this before, but does the WADA code prevent stem cells?
I don't know. I don't think,
because they're not a drug per se. I know there's a lot of other compounds that they can take that aren't, well, you know, that...
But it's not, stem cells aren't anything that are detectable per se in like a performance enhancing drug test. So,
well, only for the fact that they would know that if it said, okay, he's done his ACL, and then if you're back in record time.
Well, I mean, I think we spoke about this when we're talking about Souths with Sam Burgess.
Yeah, with his shoulder.
Like if if you're going to have that much time off, put him on a plane to fucking Panama.
Yeah.
And fill him up full of stem cells and sit, you know, because if they're worth that much to you, you know, as a dollar figure and as a on the field value figure, you know, obviously, you know, more difficult in the COVID times, but fuck. That's what I'd be begging for it, Uncle Nick.
Yeah, that's it.
And even if it was a wider infraction, make an exemption for BMOS. Honestly, fill him up with growth. I don't care, and I don't care if everyone knows about it. And he's on, and everyone's like, "Oh yeah, that guy. He was on as much growth and fucking peptides as the 2011 fucking Sharks.
Silver lining.
Combined. Every single player combined.
Paul Gallen fucking exploding when BMOS does that, and everyone loves him and gets around him and fucking celebrates the twilight of his career.
Yep.
And then Gallen comes out thinking he can get some play out of it as well.
Yep.
Fucking hell.
But if it's the end, I mean, it's sad. You know, we were only a couple of weeks ago, we were just saying, like, you know, we were asking the question amongst ourselves whether, you know, he was the greatest winger ever. And, you know, I think we agreed pretty much was.
I think probably second.
To whom?
Brian Toto.
Fuck out of here. That crazy little fucking Bruce Lee villain. Like he looks like a bad guy in a Bruce Lee movie.
He looks nothing like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Thank you very much.
Well, I mean, that's one movie. I mean, he doesn't look like Chuck Norris either, but that's not the point. But he looks, it's like he's like Chong Li out of Bloodsport, with the massive pecs. He looks like his son. He's like, so he's here to wreak revenge on fucking Van Damme's descendants.
Exactly.
But BMOS, greatest winger. To ever strap on the boot. Now, talk about this game.
I'll tell you, I was disappointed in Newcastle's forwards. You know, they had some stellar performances last year, and if there was one of the top sides that are ripe for a forwards ambush, I feel it's the Roosters. Just in terms of they've lost a little bit of skill and craftiness, obviously, in their hooking. They've got an aging forward pack for the most part. And
a lot of the younger ones are injured and at the moment, that's certainly it.
So this would have been a perfect game for them to really come in, stand up, stamp their authority on it and really take it to these guys. But I feel they're starting to get to the stage where the Knights forwards are just seen as just all bark, no bite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so much potential in that pack, and it's not coming out. And I don't know what it is.
I'm starting to feel as well, though, on the flip side, that the Roosters are starting to almost get as systemy as the Storm.
Yeah,
in terms of just plugging guys in and out.
You're not wrong.
But
because you look at the BMOS situation, then it opens the door now for Suwali.
Suwali, I guess. Yeah.
You know. It's like an embarrassment of fucking riches.
And how Sam Walker, I mean, like just unearthed him and he's a legit star.
But again,
though, take that with a grain of salt that there's a lot of nurture more so than nature in how people make their debuts and their first season in first grade.
Yeah.
You know, you take him and put him in the Broncos at the moment, for example.
Yeah.
He's nowhere near the same superstar that he is.
No chance.
When he's got the Roosters coaching and conditioning.
Yeah, yeah.
But
at the same time, he's still been thrown in on the same amount of zero notice, though, you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. Like,
so
he's performing.
Credit.
He's performing. Don't get me wrong.
And not only that, I mean, he's doing the right things that a young half that's just entered into a side. Like he's chasing everything down. Every time there's a play, he's there for the ball to get popped in back up, like that try, you know, that he scored.
Yeah.
You know, that was just, he started it off and then he stayed with the play, so he was there for that last minute pass to get popped.
Spot on.
Sorry, Glenn. No, the subject keeps coming up in a new direction. So have you finished?
The Knights had an opportunity to make a statement in this game, and as Jay alluded to, you know, the Roosters forwards are probably at a point where, you know, Saifidi boys and the rest of the names in that Newcastle forward pack could really look at those guys and say, you know, we can take a stand here. And instead, they surrendered fairly meekly and they left the game with some serious questions about their top eight credentials, certainly as a forward pack. But, you know, to try and expect Blake Green at this stage of his career to...
Well, he broke a rib or something in this game too, didn't he? So he, I think he's gone
so
for
he's, yeah.
you know, several weeks at least, yeah.
Yeah, no, they're, you know, who's going to play behind that if they're going to fold in that in that regard? And you can't expect, you know, Ponga likes to run downhill as well, and if those forwards aren't getting over the top of their opposition, then he's going to have a lot more quiet games than not. So,
yeah,
and Ponga, I mean, look, yeah, I'll often talk about his cowardice under the high ball, but he did actually go for put himself in the position to jump under a couple of them in this game, which was against. You know, which is against what I usually say, but he dropped them, and just like he's one on one tackling and like he's fullback, you know, last man before you know between the runner and the line, that kind of defense.
Yeah.
If I had to bet, if there was a runoff of a player, and there was a fullback on the 10-meter line, and a player running from the 30, and they were running for my life, they had to score a try or else I was executed. Every day I'd pick Callum Ponga to be the fullback to put in between the player and the line.
Yeah.
It doesn't fucking matter who's running with the ball. I mean, he's forwards. It, like, he's getting his ankle snapped no matter who it is. You know? So, great attacking player, but, man, like, at the moment, that side, they need fucking leadership, man.
Yeah.
I mean, they've needed it ever since Mitchell Pearce was out. And Blake Green, you know... I guess he didn't contribute anything on the field in terms of his play, but maybe he provided like a level of leadership that kept things together a little bit. But, you know, I don't know. They got trouble. They're in trouble.
They are. Yeah. On the socials. And, there they are. Danny in the Facebook group said, "Fucking hell, we shat the bed before we even got into it." Yes, you did. Winston said, "I am no scientician, but I've diagnosed that the Roosters suffered collective amnesia for about 15 minutes where they forgot they were the Roosters and thought they were the Dragons." There you go. Brendo said, "That's the most bittersweet victory ever. Hashtag fuck the Knights. Hashtag fuck the Broncos." There you go. The Knights will forever be known as the team that robbed us of B-Moz's swan song.
Hashtag Newcastle. Newcastle.
Joshy said, "Fuck, do we have Sayos for knees? At least we smash them. My heart breaks for BMOS." At Mr. Wars, all the way over there in China, living his communist dream, said, "Just give us 15 minutes of nostalgic shit about the Morris boys. It's what all us old guys that lived our best years with the Morris boys running around as a background to our Friday and Saturday nights. Fucking sad times." And that's it. The fucking memories of BMOZ games from back when we were fanciful and carefree. Hammers said, "Petition to give BMOS an exemption for steroid use." And at Alt Shift K. Hang on, you're a computer guy. What does that do when you press that?
Yeah, I have to be Glenn. I use Mac, so we usually Apple something, aren't we?
Okay. Heartbreaking or command moment something, for BMOS. You know? While he was looking devastated in the sheds, I couldn't help but chuckle to myself as the cameraman zoomed in on the ugly Dragons Premier's 2010 tattoo on his arm. There you go. Yeah,
come on. And, it doesn't do anything fucking great, let me tell you.
Okay.
It's not one of the greatest hits like fucking copy or paste, is it?
Alt-Shift-K, write to us and tell us what the fuck's going on with your name. Is that like a secret thing? And yeah, Now all of his pictures are on the dark web.
Well, I mean, you know, in
Nate's OnlyFans.
In Photoshop, it'll darken. So you know, take that for what it is. The Warriors take on the Cowboys. So don't take them on. They took them on 24-20. Central Coast Stadium. The Warriors 24 tries to Nikorima, Berry, Murdoch, Masilla, and Pompey. Nikorima 3 conversions and a penalty goal. The Cowboys 20 tries to Reece Robson, a double to Talangi, and Scott Drinkwater with a try. Holmes 2 of 4 conversions. Glenn,
fair comeback from the Cowboys wasn't quite enough in the end, but Warriors went out to a sizable lead and hung on. Cody Nikorima had a fucking some quality moments in this game, and I think he's evolving and assuming a senior role in the halves there at the Warriors. With he's obviously going to have young Reece Walsh there playing alongside him, certainly probably from next season, if not much of this. His days at the Broncos, I think Nikorima, I don't think that he'd cope with the pressure of playing a key position at the Broncos particularly well. But moving on from that and getting into the Warriors has progressively been really good for him. He seems a lot more settled and consistent at the Warriors these days. Ben Murdoch Masilla as well, a former Tigers, played overseas as well in England. I fucking honestly didn't realise he was still playing until this season. He's contributing quite a lot to the Warriors pack and living up to some of the potential that and the raps that were on him very, very early in his career. So I think the Warriors will probably be a little bit concerned that they allowed the Cowboys to come back into this game so heavily, but some of the football they played to get out to that lead was pretty impressive. So, some real positives for them, but the Cowboys as well just, let a side get away from them and played some reasonable football to get back into it, and in the end it wasn't enough.
I feel like the Cowboys could have saved themselves a lot of fucking money if they just... They would go to the market and get the likes of Chad Townsend and Dearden. Mm. When Drinkwater is clearly a fucking talent.
Yeah.
A fucking talent. I thought Nikorima, I think a lot of the reason why he looked great in this game was because he had Reece Walsh on the other side. And I mean, the kid's clearly very, very young, fresh.
Mm.
But yeah, he's got great footwork.
He's a raw talent.
And he had a couple of great touches, so look forward to seeing more out of him and, better seeing it at the Warriors than at the Broncos, right? imagine the Broncos slotting him into 6. Fuck, they'd be a much better side already.
100%. David in the Facebook group said, after that, for a tata of a first half, there was no way the Cows had any right being in the contest. Warriors played slightly less shit to take the cash. A lobotomy would have been more fun than watching that rubbish. Jordan said, we blamed Maguire for the first 4 losses. Now do we blame Tomalolo? And at King Levius, old school Warriors boy, said, just a top 8 side doing what top 8 sides do. Stacking dubs. # check his love, check his life.
Top 8 for one more week. Enjoy it while it lasts. Have you got another one?
No, that's it.
Righto, final game of the round. Tigers 16 defeat the Dragons 8. At Wynn Stadium, the Tigers 16 came through tries to Tommy Talau. Is it Zaxini? Is that how you pronounce his name?
Yeah.
And Joey Leilua. Dewey with 2 conversions. And the Dragons... 8 points came from a try to Cody Ramsey and a penalty goal to Zach Lomax and a penalty goal to Corey Norman. Glenn, you have the floor.
The biggest disappointing factor of young Zach Sini's debut is that his surname's not Chinny, because I really wanted to # Chinny's get the winnies just to fucking stick it into Fat Hairy Lazy, but it wasn't to be. But the kid had a fucking
cracker. How do you pronounce his surname?
It's Sini, yeah?
It's Sini, yeah. I think it's Sini, yeah. It's like I'm literally looking at it like I remember it being called all through the game, and I'm just looking at it like for the first time, written down. I was like, oh, You know, I was struck by it. Didn't look how I expected it to look, because I don't expect to see like some kind of Italian-looking surname on a guy that looks like Corey Horsberg's younger fucking brother who works in a meth lab.
Just on his haircut, what?
Yes.
What is with the comeback of the mullet? What?
Put it down to something that's people much younger than us, and that's what they're into. And like other things that young people are into, we aren't supposed to understand it. It's like the way life works.
Okay. It's a very specific cultural subset. The gym I go to, almost everyone under the age of 23,
yeah,
has one. Especially the more tradie section, and it's comboed with a dirty Sanchez mo as well.
So. Fucking horrible. But the kid had a great debut. I think he did some great things. It was the scenes of his family and friends or whatever in the stands there. It's just fucking great to see. I really enjoyed that. For the Tigers, BJ Leilua, looks like he's finally got the message that this is a contract year, and this isn't saying a great deal, but he probably had his best game since he's been at the Tigers. As much as it pains me to say it, I don't back the Tigers to not fall for the trap that BJ's setting for them. I think they're a chance of re-signing him based on that performance alone. Adam Dewey is taking the upper hand in the halves, which ultimately, whether the Tigers will come out publicly and say it or not, I think it spells the end for Luke Brooks at the Tigers. It was noticeable in key positions. He took the upper hand, and you got Jackson Hastings coming. Hastings coming next year. I don't think that's a great sign for Luke Brooks, in my opinion.
And he was dire. He was an absolute fucking handbrake anytime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it was. I was saying, it's like you made a number of breaks from sort of halfway or 40 meters out, and you just needed an extra guy pushing up in support to score the try. Then, because when the tackle was made, it allowed Luke Brooks to set up and fucking find a way to break it all down.
Yeah,
you know,
that's it. Yeah. And much in the same vein though as Gutho. All Dewey's doing, and except in the fact he's never ever going to be a representative half.
Yep.
All he is doing is taking half a dozen things that his position needs to do really well, and he's making good decisions when forced to, and he's executing it at above average level.
Yep.
And it's simple shit. Like,
it's not rocket science.
Distance? Am I exactly? Am I kicking for distance here? Am I kicking for position? What am I doing in terms of stacking numbers for the side of the field I'm going to put the ball on? It's not overly complex stuff. He's not going to be that brilliantly creative, like that pass that Nathan Cleary threw to put Liam Martin in. Like that was the sexiest thing that you'll see on a rugby league field this year. Which includes...
How did we get back to the Panthers?
What he does.
You know, that's never going to be Dewey. He's not that brilliantly creative future immortal. But that's what's required at the moment. And it makes it even more frustrating that, well, hang on, why can't Luke Brooks even do that?
Yeah, exactly. How is he not... dumbed it down to a point where it's like there's getting back to basics, and then there's that. You know, how's he not got there? You know, I think Dane Laurie was good again, pushing up around the ball and in support. He had some really, really nice touches. Tom McKayley as well. He was one of the four guys from a couple of the poor performances that we've had this season, and spent a bit of time in Reggie's, and it been going really, really well for the Magpies. And he's come back and brought the same sort of aggression that when he first came into first grade, which, you know, it's good to see a young guy respond like that. And he was really good and made a real impact when he come on. But at the end of the day, it's always good to win, but winning against a team with a mouthy cunt fan base who now have to skulk away and bury their faces in their fucking troughs or charge people exorbitant rates on their heavy machinery with tears in their fucking eyes is extra special. So fuck the Dragons. And all of their cunty fans.
How are you angry at Dragons fans, though?
Fuck the Dragons, because they're fucking lippy cunts. Trotters, talking to you. Specifically.
I've never heard him be anything but respectful.
And look, I like the fact, you know, I like that you had a win and you're happy about it, but you've got to acknowledge as well, I mean, this game was absolute fucking AIDS. It eclipsed the previous low watermark set for this season when the Dogs playing the Broncos earlier. And I think
we should just take a point to name, you know, or point out that Lomax was felled by what we should now be called a Reynolds snap.
Or a Reynolds-ectomy.
Because Reynolds is the most injury-prone player to ever play the game of rugby league.
Adam Reynolds-ectomy.
Is it the thumb injury is now, is that a Blakelismosis or something like that? How do we...
No, Reynolds breaks them. That's it. So
right.
But also that was the turning point.
But Lomax broke his thumb too.
Lomax going off, I think when it's time to sit down and evaluate contract values and extensions at the Dragons going forward, I think you're going to give Zach Lomax what he wants because he proved just how important he was. I mean, he went from a game where the Dragons were up and looking the better of the sides, in what was probably going to be a closer game than we would have thought.
Mm.
Like the Tigers weren't lying down.
Yeah.
But it went from that to Tigers dominating the rest of the first half and not being able to put it together to score, to continuing the domination in the second half and putting enough together to, you know, grab some tries to get ahead.
That's it.
Here's some tweets if you got nothing else to say.
Socials on this one. At Devonhead. Says, fuck the Dragons, fuck the Tigers, fuck Madge, fuck Hook, fuck Zach Lomax's thumb, fuck Rangers with mullets, fuck Josh Maguire's meetings, fuck my life, and fuck that smirking, thumb-looking cunt with a headset on.
Nothing but respectful, eh?
Except for them.
I'm 100% okay with a man who's respectful enough to know how to be so fucking in charge of his anger and angry emotions that he can write a list. It's called emotional self-regulation.
I don't have a lot of that, in case you hadn't noticed.
Exactly. Exactly.
Never have. Never fucking will.
P. Valandis Anon said, we did rugby league a service to provide the Tigers incline for their eventual decline. Seriously?
Did he say the incline or did he say Klein? I thought the tweet said Klein.
Oh, fine. Tigers Klein. Yeah. There you go.
Which is why it was even better.
Seriously, though, we were always an ordinary team. No one would listen to us. There you go. @_appayipyip44 said, out enthused by the Tigers, the fucking Tigers. They haven't had a dig all year. Even Manly beat the Tigers. I'm so fucking sick of this fucking team going up against pub sides and getting utterly outplayed. There you go.
Honestly, I want to actually defend the Tigers. The point that we've made several times this season, they do have a fucking go. Of the bad teams, in quotes, they're usually putting in and actually making inroads, and they're just, you know, too inept or whatever to, you know, put points on the, yeah, or whatever. But I would hate to think that having a go was a trait I feel like they were definitely having a go, even when losing. So get that shit out of there. And I'd just like to give a quick shout out to Josh Maguire, and it's today it makes 220 days. Of consecutive meetings.
Fuck yes.
And he hasn't had a fucking win in a long ass time.
Fuck yes. Joey said, I feel bad for Dane Laurie and Zach Sini being two young blokes trying to lift up this pathetic excuse for an NRL side. Fucking hell, Joe. And Peter Smith, your mate from Ed's Glen, says, you know when you stagger home from the pub, finally get in the door, run to the toilet, not knowing whether you're going to spew or shit first, and then they happen simultaneously short of the toilet? That's this game.
I can't identify, but I mean, I've had enough close calls to understand the terror.
And Stuart said it's been a tough season for the Tigers, but a sensational debut from Zach Sini shows that the future is bright for the Roosters or the Storm. Oh, there you go.
That's it. That's the game. So that brings us to full time for episode 395. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can interact with us in a multitude of ways. To grab the link to our Patreon, social media communities, and more, head to thisweekinleague.com/links. And if you'd like to support the show, you can always become a patron on our Patreon. Drop us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. Tell a friend, share our shit around. It's all good. Before we close the show, I'd love to give a shout out to some of our wonderful patrons. And some of these guys are, well, actually, they're all fairly long term too. So massive thank you to Kyle, aka Paraman. I forget what his name is these days. Is he still like Paraman Mark III or whatever?
Gargoyle.
And, shout out to Kyle. He's one of those people that we would, you know, describe as an OG listener of the show. And so appreciate your support, sir. On a Blood Buzz, that's Ben. Is a very long, like such a long-term member, always one of the most supportive people in terms of membership and merch. Yes. And stuff like that, and often is the first person to throw down after I say memberships are up for sale each year. There's a couple of years where he's been the first. And, of course, never forget his most golden moment in history was after the New South Wales Origin win in 2014, and I did the one in a row shirts, and he bought one. And in the address details, he had it sent to Mal Meninga, care of Queensland Rugby League, blah, blah, Milton, or wherever the address is for Queens. And so he paid to have a one in a row shirt sent to Mal, the fucking champion. And finally, Carsten, our man in Switzerland.
Oof.
And also, yeah, supports the show at, I mean, look, like, first things. Sure, he's sitting on a ton of Nazi gold, but he does invest that Nazi gold into supporting this show and paying the exorbitant fucking shipping rates that that Australia Post charges us to send him his merchandise to Switzerland.
If only they'd have kept those underground railroads running to run mail.
So we appreciate you guys, and thank you so much. And I think all those guys are on the. They're potentially all in the. I don't have the document open at the moment. I think they're all in the Revelation tier. So, look forward to catching up to the first two, and Carsten. We look forward to the day when he was due to come down for the grand final last year.
That was the most fucked up thing about COVID. Like COVID took a lot of people away, but fuck, I felt bad about that. And I know.
But when someone's making plans, you know, and arrangements to come to Australia for a grand final and for meetups and stuff from Switzerland. Oh, yeah, that's fucked. So, I can't wait till things normalize a bit there and we can get him down.
Yeah.
And that's it, fellas. Anything else you would like to add before we wrap this up?
That's us.
No, that's it. I'm going
to put a brisket on.
How good. Enjoy.
So that'll go overnight and then be ready by lunchtime tomorrow, I suggest. And that'll be eaten for the next couple of days.
Fuck yeah. Well done.
Delicious.
All right, fellas. I'll talk to you guys on Wednesday.
Later.
Okay. See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.